This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward and you are tuning into a live reaction special. The departure of Paul Cook at Ipswich Town announced Saturday 4th of December at about 7:15-ish, I think it was. And joining me live, along with all of you and your comments, we want to hear from you tonight, Craig Fimbo. Craig, your immediate reaction to this news?
My immediate reaction is that my sausages are going to be ruined because they're in the oven and need to be switched down and turned over.
That's what we're all here for. Yeah, so Craig's going to dive off in 20 minutes, leaving me on my own like Garth in Wayne's World. I'm having a good time. But as long as all of you are out there and we can see you are, we want to hear from you. So we'll put some comments up. But yeah, Craig, go on, tell us what you're thinking at the moment.
I'm really sad. I don't normally feel this way about football managers or Ipswich football managers because... Now, by the time, as we know, we give managers plenty of time. And by the time we do get rid of them, you've bored of them and bored of what they're saying and bored of the football that they're playing, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just sad it hasn't worked out, you know. I'm sure I speak for a lot of people in that he seems like a really nice guy who gets football and he gets football fans. But it just simply hasn't worked out. It didn't work out last year with the previous squad. Yeah, absolutely, exactly what you said. It hasn't worked out so far with this, and you know we're getting further and further away from playoffs, etc. Everyone knows. But what it does go to show, and I don't know if I can swear at this time in the evening, but these boys in charge are not f***ing about, are they? I think we can safely say that.
Apologies, everyone.
Yeah, sorry, but they're not, are they? You can tell. We knew during the summer when they splashed all that money and bought in all these players that they weren't mucking about. I'm going to use the word mucking instead.
Yes, please. You can use it now, 20 minutes' time when the sausages are burnt.
Fucking sausages are burnt. Yeah, there you go.
He's done it twice. He's got off the chain.
We knew they weren't mucking about, and they're definitely not mucking about now. You know, there was no inclination in Paul Cook's interviews, was there? You know, I'm sure you can go tell us what he said, Rich, after the, you know, for one final time, Rich, you can do the Paul Cook impression.
Yeah, I've got to depart. To be fair, I knew what was going to happen today, and I went and hung out with my little niece and played games and did all kinds of silly things today because I knew that it was going to be, and to be fair to Cook, he admitted as much in the pre-match that it was going to be a tight one today, but the fact is, these are two performances against lesser opposition, admittedly in cups, that have come off the back of a really... is it now two wins out of the last nine since Wickham? So,
yeah.
And obviously, we've had patchy form prior to that. Obviously, the Wickham win was the big hope, wasn't it? And it's just not. kicked in.
I think
a lot of people out there as well would say, you know, we debated long and hard on this podcast about whether last season counts or not. I think it's very difficult. It's very rose-tinted spectacles if you were very adamantly pro Paul Cook, that there was nothing that we could read into last half of the season, because it tells you tactically what we were going to get, which is 4-2-3-1 by hook or by crook. In fact, he had to compromise when he realized what players he'd got. Then he jettisoned that squad. And I think Joe was pretty consistent on this. That ratcheted up the pressure. If the pressure was not already there from the new ownership, that this season had to be right. And as much as they'd been pleading for time, the drop-off, it's not been a steady decline. It's just been mediocre for far too long. It's not been average. It's been just less than average, with the on spiky good victory in there. And if you're an investor and an owner who wants to get out of League One ASAP, there's just not enough evidence, is there? And you have to factor in, I think, in this decision, what happened last season. Thoughts on Minnow's point here as well, by the way, before we go too far.
I was just going to say about the Portsmouth and Wickham performances were the outliers, weren't they? Unfortunately, as you say, they were the spikes. Whereas, you can forgive an opposite reaction if your normal performances are relatively high, and we weren't really seeing any from game to game and from week to week, month to month. You weren't really seeing the progress that you would expect to see with the caliber of player that we've got. And, you know, you can blame players all you like. Yes, absolutely, 100%. But unfortunately, he has to, take the bullet for this one. And what you said about last season's, last season's squad and us needing to change formation to accommodate it. But then that goes on to the summer, whereby there were some muddled transfer dealings. You know, we were all getting giddy about the sheer weight and number and volume of players that were coming in. But, you know, we can all list these guys that don't necessarily fit into this, you know, cast in stone formation that Paul Cook plays. Yeah. You know, we know who they are.
He's had to compromise on that as well, because he needs fullbacks that bomb on, and we don't seem to have any of those, at least. Any that are fit. So let's just, before we jump into the comments, and there are a lot of them, so thank you for that. We will get to as many as we can. I think I need to set some ground rules. This is a non-Schadenfreude zone here. I echo Craig's sentiment. I'm not happy that this is the situation that we find ourselves in. Paul Cook is clearly a very liked person behind the scenes at the club. The Christian Walton interview, he expressed how much the manager was an important factor in him coming here. There will be other players like that as well. None of us like seeing managers sacked, so I won't be putting any comments that looking to stick the knife in on Paul Cook. That's not why we're here. We're here to analyse. We're here to react. We're here to give our views of what happens next. But Paul Cook is a nice guy, and so that's the rules, and the rest of it is up to you. So,
yeah.
Just a statement very quickly. Ipswich Town Football Club can confirm that manager Paul Cook has been relieved of his duties. Town CEO Mark Ashton said, "Firstly, we would like to thank Paul and his team for their efforts in what has been a difficult transition period for everyone. I know how much Paul wanted to succeed in this club. However, following discussions with the board, we've decided a change is needed for our long-term interests. At this moment, there is no one lined up to replace Paul. There will be an extensive search to find the best replacement for the club. I will communicate more to the media and our supporters on Monday." There you go, Craig. So very matter of fact, clear that this is a collective decision from the board. And I always shudder when I hear the words extensive search, because it reminds me of the extensive search that recruited Paul Hurst. But the name's already being mentioned, on no surprise. Michael Appleton, I think, has been a very poorly kept secret for some time that Mike O'Leary and Mark Ashton like him. So don't be surprised, even with that long-term contract at Lincoln, if he's well linked. TWTD reporting also, Liam Manning, who's doing an excellent job at MK, probably a little bit too soon for him. And Ryan Lowe. Craig, very quickly before we jump into those comments, your thoughts on those three names?
Well, you would have thought that I think I was listening to the Suffolk on the way home, and they were saying about, you know, Paul Cook being an old school manager in theory, and that, you know, the new structure we've got in place, everything is set up for the guy to succeed, isn't it? Whoever it happens to be. And what Paul Cook was sort of a nod towards a Mick McCarthy type manager, in that, not saying the football was the same, but probably likes ownership of everything that's going on from top to bottom in the club. But it looks like we've now got this raft of people behind the scenes. The structure is there to allow, hopefully, a head coach type rather than a manager type to come in and slot in, like, you know, Swansea have had and Brighton have had, etc. They've got the structure there already, and they'll headhunt someone who will come in and fit into the structure that they've already got in place.
There's your
sausage alarm.
Right on cue, Charlie D.
Sausage alarm.
Calvin said Tony Pulis. Along with any schadenfreude around Paul Cook, anyone who mentions Tony Pulis is also... I'm joking, Calvin. No, thank you. I need to say
he's
that.
Banned. Yeah. But it would be a hell of a brave decision to appoint Liam Manning, I think, at this particular juncture, yeah, being, what, 8, 10, 12 matches into his English managerial career or coaching career. I don't know. I just wonder, Appleton aside, who seems like the obvious choice, whether they go completely off field. And I know Joe said previously, you look at the transfer dealings that were done in the summer, and none of us could have envisaged that, you know, Morsey would be coming down from the Championship, and Walton would be coming down the Championship, and Chaplin would be coming down from the Championship, and they did. So
no shopping in the bargain bucket this time, or whatever.
Watch this space. Yeah.
Kirk here is saying international coach. It's not something we've done before. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, we don't know. Obviously, Ashton's going to be leading the recruitment process. But then, if Frank Lampard didn't join Norwich,
he was waiting. He knew.
He only deals with clubs who wear blue. Yeah.
Warnock is the name that's coming up quite a lot. Your thoughts on that? One last try. He's always wanted the job, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. But I think he'll be more of a step towards an all-encompassing manager, which I'm not entirely sure that the ownership really want. And the structure, I don't think, is set up for a manager to come in, if you see what I mean, rather than a head coach.
Okay. Yeah, fair dues. Mark, we're all, I think, starting to think this, Mark, has the Ipswich job now become a poison chalice? A lot of people saying they're surprised by just the lack of proactiveness in respect to the board, which is something we've not been familiar for. Although it feels like we do one of these shows every year or so now, which is it's a bit sad, isn't it? Your thoughts on this? Is it a poison chalice given the abundance of quality in that squad and the backing you'll get in January?
I know, it's just. I don't understand why. Why has it gone wrong? You know, and I tweeted a little bit earlier that Cook's only got himself to blame in terms of the backroom staff he put in place, hasn't he? You know, everyone's got an opinion on it.
Yeah,
everyone's.
Just hold that thought very quickly, because Mark's, and I saw this, and this is really important, I think, in terms of this discussion. Mark Marks and Paul Cook missed Liam Richardson holding his hand. Is that a sense of? If you kind of look, I've got his where's his stats? Here we go. His managerial stats here, and that points per game 1.3 with Ipswich, noticeably lower than at Wigan, at Portsmouth, Chesterfield, and so on. And the consistent theme there is, you didn't want to mention it, but we have to. Liam Richardson seems to, and look at what he's doing at Wigan now.
Yeah, exactly. It's the obvious comparison to make, isn't it? And it's the obvious. You know, it's the obvious omission that wasn't there from his previous successes.
And then Mark's followed it up with that one. Bring in Farker. Come on, Mark. You were doing so well. Never mind. And then he slagged off my impression as well. Mark, I thought we were mates. What's going on here? Never mind.
Every cloud, Mark. Every cloud.
Yeah. I need something to say as Paul Cook to sign off the show, don't I? I'll have a think about what I'm going to say.
But I'll say, just listening to his post-match, and we can talk about it today in a sec, but listening to his post-match interview, he had no idea this was coming. You know, he was blaming the pitch, he was blaming, you know, saying that the fans were ready to turn in the first half and coming up with all sorts of...
It is noticed. I So to the point of the question about poison chalice, there is an atmosphere now at Portman Road where certainly in it's maybe a modern thing here, but in all my time watching Ipswich over 30 years, I can't remember this kind of palpable level of uncertainty and bad feeling that it pervades the stadium crew. You could feel it, and I could hear it on the radio. I did listen to a little bit of it today, and that it just feels like that's a bit irreversible, Ipswich.
And it's just ingrained, isn't it?
It's not unreasonable. Don't get me wrong, because we've seen some absolute garbage performances of late. We have to be saying that. You know, even Crewe, bottom of the league, we made look pretty half decent, didn't we? But there is an air around Portman Road.
Yeah, there is.
I've asked about that. How do you shift that?
It's ingrained, isn't it? But then it's understandably ingrained because, you know, for the past 20 years, we haven't had an awful lot to shout about. I think we all know that Ipswich fans aren't idiots. They're not particularly reactionary, but what they would just like to see is an element and an iota of progress and just seeing some green shoots every now and again of, oh, yeah, that's what they're trying to do. You know, yeah. Oh, well, I can sort of see it. I can see it. I can see it happening. Seeing that for, you know, one period of play every three or four matches isn't enough. And, if it's not enough for us, it's certainly not going to be enough for the guys who are ploughing in millions and millions of quid.
No.
As we've said, you know, we've all said on the pod and people have said on other pods, the project that everyone's referring to isn't getting out of League One into the Championship. Yeah, that's a given. That was the given that that's going to happen regardless. The project is stabilising in the Championship and making a jump to the league above that.
Yeah, and therefore all the decisions, and this is really important, you know, we talked about Sheepshanks' five-year plan, was it, to get us promoted. And the reason why that kind of thing is very pithy and very easy to say, and Marcus Evans's one was not the same thing. It was just some principles stuck in the back of a fag packet. If you have an objective that you are seeking to achieve over a period of time, all the decisions that you make are bound by that objective. Rather than the short term, you think about what happens along the lines that you're talking, Craig, which is we're not here to think about League One, we're thinking about something else. And therefore, it's very easy to make dispassionate decisions like today's decision, because this is undermining that plan, which probably has milestones over the next 3 to 4 years. So a lot of people now talking, Craig, about, we've talked about Liam Richardson, which is kind of a lot of people now talking about the inverse of that, which is what happens to Reed, what happens to Jeffers and co. A lot of people suggesting that they'll all head off here. Your thoughts on that and whether that's another factor here that we need to talk about.
Well, 100%. You know, I wouldn't particularly trust them. I didn't particularly trust them to coach the first team with Paul Cook in charge. I certainly wouldn't be trusted them to coach the first team without anybody in charge. You know, they're all so wet behind the ears, and it was always a concern from almost everybody that, Gary Roberts, he's not had any inclination of doing his coaching. We got him. He was due to play against us, wasn't he, for Accrington? And 3 or 4 days beforehand, he's sitting on the bench in his tracksuit coaching against them. And Freddie Jeffers, yes, he's been a coach at Everton in the under-23s, and that's obviously a path he is looking to do. But again, it's no first-team experience sitting on a first-team bench. Craney from Wigan, you know, draw your own conclusions about that. But they just, you know, we've said it time and time again, you know, I've been to Cheltenham, I've been to wherever else, we've all been to. And poor old Cook standing on the touchline all by himself, looking behind him just for someone to give him a bit of inspiration or a bit of guidance or blah, blah, blah. And we also brought Peter Reid in. He was brought in for a reason. Things weren't going particularly well, so he's been brought in. You brought in John McGreal, but then you bring in John McGreal, 2 days before you're sacking the manager?
What was Cook's involvement in that appointment, I guess, was something to...
Yeah, I still think, you know, I keep going back to it. I'm sad for Paul Cook, but by the same token, it's his own fault for not sorting out that backroom stuff. To my eyes, that looked like the real weak link in it all.
Even into bits, are we now Watford? For owners who are on every occasion said that this is the long-term goal this season or next, they are now showing true colours in this move. Hope they invest wise in someone decent. Are you worried about the... I I can see where Bits is coming from, and a lot of I'm about to insult Bits here. I'm not seeking to do that, but there. This idea that sacking managers is anti Ipswich, it's not the Ipswich way. Never in our history have we been so I was about to use your word. Have we been in the third tier for this long and without a coherent strategy? And I think at this level, I think Joe and I talked about it after post Lambert, is until you find the right manager at League One level, I think you're well entitled to sack people, because the longer we stay down here, the worse it gets for us. And I don't think you can afford to be sentimental and, we shouldn't be sacking managers. I do think when you get into the second tier and above, it's a different question. But your thoughts on whether it's this kind of sacking culture?
Well, crikey, longer than Paul Hurst did. Well, I think maybe us as fans need to get our head around the fact that it is now no longer the Ipswich way, if we're going to call it that. But what it may indicate is that Paul Cook wasn't actually, well, we know he wasn't their man, but since he started and since Ashton O'Leary came in, they were very adamant that, we've full backing. He was certainly, involved in discussions and stuff like that. We knew what we were coming into. And you can't argue they haven't backed him, but there was probably always that underlying current that you thought, well, they didn't bring him in. He was already in situ when they joined, albeit the crossover was pretty brief between the two. So now I think we'll see their true colours in terms of what the plan was. Now, I'm not saying, I'm sure they were, Christ, they'd loved Paul Cook to have worked, but they just wasn't maybe quite the right culture fit. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I just skipped through a few comments that I put up there, and someone said, Jack here, Cook is clearly a good manager. Just the club didn't suit him. Good managers suit the club, like Moyes with West Ham. It does feel like we failed to find someone who's a fit for us, don't we?
Exactly as Jack says. Sometimes things just don't work out. It's nobody's fault. He did his best. We've backed him to the hilt, but for one reason or another, it just hasn't. I'll keep going back to it. I just think he's stuffed up with his backroom staff and his guys to help him out on the coaching side.
I'm worried about your sausages at 21 minutes, by the way.
So yes, mate, so am I. Yeah, put a screen up and I'm going to disappear.
I'll keep going. I will go through the comments here and I will do my best without Craig. I'll do my Craig impression while he's gone.
Dropping the F-bomb.
Yeah, don't do that. I'm really worried about those. So for those of you who are listening, Craig's, I think, got a Bluetooth headset. I thought he was going to pull the cable out of his laptop. Adam Williams.
No, I'm still here.
He's still here. I'll listen in. As good as contenders are, as they are, I'd be amazed if the likes of Appleton, Manning and Lowe would be allowed to leave and join a promotion live in the same league. I wonder, Adam and Craig, whether that's a problem now. If we've got backing and resources, I know Ryan Lowe, I think I wouldn't be leaving because I think he can achieve something great at Plymouth. But even... Yeah, if it's the start of a long-term project, a lot of managers might think of jumping ship when they Craig.
Oh, 100%. You got a lot of backing.
Yeah, quality isn't so good with your ROI. So I'll keep cracking on. Rob Smith here. This is probably the most pertinent point of all of the comments I've received so far. Just don't get anyone called Paul. I wholeheartedly agree with you, Rob. We have found all of the worst fit managers who have called Paul. So please, I can't think of any who are available at the moment. So let's hope that there's one that comes out of the recruitment, the extensive search, we find another Paul. What have we got else here? Should we be looking overseas? The universe doesn't care. I think that's some thoughts that, again, it's difficult unless you've got knowledge of those kind of leagues and your thoughts on it. We always kind of like the idea of a Dutch appointment, or maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how many international managers will cope particularly well in League One. I don't know. I think what today proved is, and to a certain extent, what sort of we got with Paul Lambert is, you don't need to be bloody, masterminds of football tacticians to get up towards the top of League One. Go relatively direct, play more people up front than we currently are, and, see what happens from there. I know Luke Hyam was talking about it.
Plan B.
Yeah. Or have a plan A that works.
Or have a plan A that can change as well. I don't think it takes rocket science.
It doesn't take rocket science, I don't think, to get up towards the top end of League One. We just seem to
be making it far more complicated.
Yeah.
What if they haven't figured it out? Why haven't we? You know, there's something in there I just don't get. Charlie D, I think it would be a non-league. Well, I thought he said a non-league manager for a second. A non-League One manager. Who knows? It'll be interesting. Yeah. We'll start speculating on that, and we'll give Craig and Ben and Dave 24 hours to think about that for the flagship show. Obviously, get your questions in for the flagship show. We've done the usual tweet out. We'll retweet that later. The guys will obviously talk a lot more about Barrow. We'll kind of skip through that, and unless it comes up in the questions, Craig.
But saying that, a bit like, as you were saying earlier about, you know, you found other things to do today. I went, but I left like an hour later than I normally do, and I was still having an hour. And when I saw the fact that there was the potential of watching it on the telly by some means or another, I almost swayed away. And that's not the way you should be feeling. And certainly, you know, I'm sure Paul could be bloody mortified if he thought fans were thinking that, you know, going to watch his teams play football. But for some reason, certainly over the last, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, wherever it's been, it's just something's just happened, doesn't it? And you know,
we've been crap in the cups for far too long. And I rightly understood Joe, Seb, their anger on the live show midweek about losing to Arsenal under 21s. Because admittedly on pens, but that, to me, if you're gonna get relegated to League One, A, don't hang around. B, at least have a day out at Wembley. Because if you can't beat teams in the EFL trophy, then that suggests there's something fundamentally wrong, even if you do rotate a bit. Daryl, Premier League under 23 managers have stepped up well recently. Are there any of those that stand out? Who was the Arsenal under 23's manager? Was it Mertesacker?
Mertesacker, I think, is like the director of the academy, or maybe the under 23 manager, but he wasn't on the bench, was he? I think it was like an under 19 or an under 20 coach. There's some other guy who's coaching.
Luke Winchester. Let's go to the Winchester and let this whole thing blow over. It would be a nine or possible as Blackburn a fourth in the championship, but Mowbray would be ideal. I think the days of an ITFC appointment, unless it's Liam Manning, who statistically would jump out as a high potential appointment. It's not likely to be. A lot of people suggested McGreal as an interim, but the Ipswich Town thing is not going to go. The owners and Ashton won't care about that, will they?
No, but I think that ship sailed, unfortunately. I think had you contacted them 4 months ago when the Blackburn fans wanted him out, then you may have been in with a chance, but he seems to have very successfully turned that around currently, doesn't he?
Some reactions from the players coming out. I think I've skipped through Norwood's and mentioned something, but I think he's quite sanguine about it. I think he's quite disappointed.
He was complimentary, Norwood.
Yeah. Weird situation that, isn't it? We won't drill into that here. Relying on you guys to put this out there. So thank you for Chris Himpleman here. Gutted for the manager. Great manager, great man. Brought us all to the club and we haven't been good enough for him. We must take responsibility now and move forward. That's Sam Morsey. It is an interesting one. And, you know, I said we weren't going to drill into Barrow today too much. But to me, there is a level of performance that you're not seeing energy. And, you know, if tactically it's not working, you still expect players to be trying things and everyone's just waiting for someone else. I remember, I think it was Luke Heim or Brenner, it was the commentary team. Luke Heim said, the players that look like they're waiting for someone else to be the spark. And as much as it's Morsey's quite right to come out and say what he has said, there is something to be said, not only for the tactical rigidity, if that is a word, but the level of performance and the application of players in the last week or so has noticeably dropped, hasn't it?
That's the word, isn't it? It's application, because Paul Cook said himself after the match, we don't go and tell these guys to pass backwards and pass sideways. Well, something's being lost in translation somewhere, then, isn't it? Either why aren't they looking to be more proactive and positive with the ball? If presumably all week you've been coaching them that, where's the fall down between what you've been telling them Monday to Friday and what's happening on a Saturday afternoon? If you haven't been telling them to play this way, why are they playing that way? And is it up to, therefore, Morsey as your man on the pitch to be grabbing people by the scruff of the neck and not doing it himself, you know. I know there's a couple of times today where he got the ball and drove forward, but he was still playing very, very, very safely, and that sort of just permeates through the team. And it's not as if you're playing safely and, you know, tapping away at the door, and all of a sudden you've got some sort of rapier sword and, you know, poking holes in the defence. You're not. You're tapping, going back to Walton, who's whacking it up front. It was Lambert ball for the first half today, certainly.
Oh, in the last few weeks, Rotherham, I know that Rotherham are a good team, but it was Lambert ball for Rotherham, wasn't it? And even Butzer Crewe, as you say, sideways, no one trying to break the lines. I think Selina possibly the only one, and no one finding him or him not being able to. The way people, the covalent bonds, Harry from Bath, so astute. And Harry from Bath, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, messaged me and had worries about a kind of Paul Cook equals Paul Jewell kind of thing he was saying to me. And, you know, there's some truth in that, isn't there? And these partnerships have got worse, not better, as you said, Craig. This gelling phase that we were expecting, you'd expect players to be able to make decisions in game in spite of poor tactics. And that wasn't happening. And if anything, the players were going into their shells
it'd be interesting to know. I know we spoke about it briefly, just the whole transfer window, and you know we're now playing matches, and this is no disrespect to the guys that are currently playing, but Bailey Clements and Janai Janassian aren't the fullbacks that make the whole 4-2-3-1 Paul Cook formation work. And how have we found ourselves in a position whereby they're playing, and Bailey Clements is our fifth, you know, go at playing someone at left back this season? It just seemed, I say, we got all giddy and excited about the sheer weight and volume of numbers coming in, but there is a certain amount of muddled thinking in terms of the actual players that did come in. Yeah, you think, well, you've got cover all the way along, but we don't seemingly still have cover. We're still playing Toto at the back, for example, who's doing their job. But again, he's, you know, two managers ago's appointment and was almost out the door and on loan at Bolton, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. this has depressed me. I don't know if this is still the case. The universe doesn't care. A very pertinent and relevant title, given what is the comment here. And we don't even warrant a breaking news comment.
We had the big yellow background breaking news during Sky Sports. Yeah.
There you go. Look, there you go. I've added one for us.
Can you change the colour, mate?
I can't.
I did actually think when the news first broke, and it, as everyone knows, it was completely out of the blue, and I pinged our WhatsApp saying, "Fellas," and I had to quickly go and check that there was, because it was the official club Twitter feed that said it, just to make sure there wasn't a full stop somewhere in the official ITFC name, that someone had done some elaborate hoax before we went
John, hope he gets to spend some time with his family. Yeah, it's been a tough time for Paul Cook as well, a long way from home and stuff like that. We need to remember the human side of this as well, as we talked about earlier.
I don't think anybody's got anything bad to say about the guy, you know, from a supporter's perspective. You know, he got it.
Yeah,
and you know, the way he talked, and he was obviously passionate, and I say anyone that's spoken to him, and obviously we've, you know, certain degrees of separation, but we all know people within the club, and whether that's youth team players and their mums and dads and bits and pieces like that, they've got nothing but good things to say about Paul Cook. You know, I know a guy that sat on the first team bench as a coach, and he from the academy, and he's, you know, got, again, nothing. And that's the same with Gary Roberts and Francis Jeffers and all of them. Nothing bad, not a bad word to say about any of them as people.
Yep, and at the end of the day, it has to work on the pitch, doesn't it? And that's the sad thing, because we have had managers who have packed up and don't care, and it's clear that Paul Cook and his team care, as you say. It's just not worked for whatever reason, isn't it? What else have we got? Bits felt that people voted not to go today. Yeah, as we were talking about, the ground was empty, which says a lot. And people saw this coming, though, Bits, didn't they? I think that's the trouble. Welsh Wizards, Ipswich could probably steal any league manager with the money now. I guess it's motivation, isn't it, Craig, whether if the money talks. And I do think Michael Appleton, as I said, that contract, I wouldn't be surprised if it has a release clause in there. I know if we just put the league table up, because it's obviously context for the decision for why Paul Cook has been let go here. But Lincoln not doing particularly well themselves, down in 18th, lost the last two. Obviously, Appleton's had a tough summer, yeah. And has recovered from, I think it was testicular cancer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you wonder whether, obviously, that's a serious situation for him. But you also wonder whether he has half an eye maybe on something.
You would have thought if you're crikey, let's not blow our trumpet too hard here, because we're sitting, what, 11th, 12th in League One. But if you're an ambitious, upwardly looking coach stroke manager, and you know the Ipswich job's available, you think at Lincoln and Ipswich, in terms of their relative ability to climb higher, you would hope that managers see Ipswich as the better bet in that. And just going back to the previous bit about, you know, having your pick of managers. Now, Ryan Lowe, what, he got promoted, didn't he, with Bury and dropped down to League Two to do the same with Plymouth, didn't he? So he's got no qualms about leaving a team which has been, I know Bury's a bit of a basket case, obviously, but I'm not saying that I particularly want Ryan Lowe, but, you know, he's shown himself that he's willing to drop down to progress.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Flim flam. Film fan, I assume. Do you think there was the result, or the lack of bums on seats, that was the final straw, Craig? I would be disappointed to think that an FA Cup tie, a second round FA Cup tie, would mean as much in this decision.
It's a barrow now, crikey, now they've got to read anything into that.
This is the kind of the turd on the crap cake, isn't it? That has been stewing and baking for the last... That's an analogy that I'm sticking with.
I'm glad I'm having sausages, mate, rather than your baking.
Shit cake. It does feel like this is just... I think the reaction of the support, the lack of numbers today, I think is context for the decision, but this is just a culmination, isn't it, of a few weeks to a month of just media.
Yeah, it's purely results, isn't it? It's got to be purely a results-driven decision, because we are purely in a results-driven business stroke industry. As we said, you know, the project isn't getting out of League One. The project is already being in the Championship. You know, we need to get out of this godforsaken division as soon as possible. And these guys aren't mucking about in terms of the backing they've given these guys. And now, unfortunately, Paul Cook, I'm sure in the cold light of day, he'll look back and think, balls, I mucked it up.
This is my moment. How many managers has Ashton hired and fired? I guess Bristol City fans, and I don't know if there are any watching, we do have some supporters of other teams apart from Ipswich. His appointment of Dean Holden after Lee Johnson was particularly unpopular. I think a budget constraints there as a result of that, but that wasn't a great situation there. I assume he might have been involved with Nigel Pearson possibly, but I don't think he had that much cause to do hiring and firing at Bristol City bits. I don't know, Craig.
No, I think didn't he? I'm sure he brought in Lee Johnson and sort of gave, in Bristol City fans' eyes, gave Lee Johnson more time than he may have done had he not been, their right. man, his man, if you see what I mean. I'm sure we can find out the dates that Mark Ashton was there, but they had Steve Cotterill was before Lee Johnson, but I don't know the timings of Mark Ashton being at Bristol City, but I know he appointed Johnson and therefore stuck with him maybe longer than he should have done. But as you say, they dillied and dallied and dithered, didn't they, when they appointed Holden, and he was in the building all along, and that didn't work out
Cook was one of the candidates, I think.
He was.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that one. And Melvin
so
here,
not many bits.
I find it odd. Ashton said they don't have a replacement lined up. Why the rush? If so, harsh on a very likable Cook, but I was just frustrated with his inflexibility on formation. Is it something to do with the pack-up PR? Because we've thought that could be a bit of a car crash waiting to happen. Is that a factor here? McGreal, obviously, the appointment midweek. Everything is starting to... If you were... Again, if you're putting your hat on, which I've done a couple of times tonight now so far, you do wonder whether two equals five here or not.
Yeah, possibly. You know, a few people did say on Suffolk on the way home is, you know, the last thing in the world you'd want is 28,000 people with the arse, you know, having just, you know,
and put out another as well.
Turgid performance against Sunderland. You know, you don't want to be turning into the fans at the Stadium Alight who turn like the flick of a switch. Mm. Who knows, you know, what's that, 2-3 weeks' time, whether they have anybody in place. I'd imagine they will have someone in place by then. So hopefully by then it'll be all goodwill and, you know, all, again, pointing in one direction sort of thing.
Rodders 763, thank you so much for the super chat. And I think you guys have taken pity on me and Craig. I've had my tea, Craig has not. And Kirk, DiGiorgio, some pants to get more sausages, seriously. Amazing. Your words, not ours. Thanks, Kirk. We really appreciate the super chat, £5. Thank
you. I think all we can deduce from this, everyone, is that, you know, us, Rich, myself, and all you lot, we've got nothing else to do but on a Saturday night. And that probably says more about us than it does about anything else.
Hey, man, I'm always on call when it comes to live reactions to these. The siren emoji is kind of always in my favorites on my Twitter app. We'll go for another kind of 10, 15 minutes because I'm worried about Craig's sausages.
Don't keep blaming my sausages. If people are around, they can go burn. Okay, that's my dedication.
We will stay here as long as you guys stay with us. How about that? I've lost my place in the comments, so I'm going to pick it up partway through because I'm miles behind. I'm 23 minutes, no, something like 15 minutes behind the comments.
Well, while you're doing that, Rich, we can all sing happy birthday. Can't we? Because it's December the 4th.
I don't recognise him. Who's that?
Oh, my God. Shut your mouth.
Who is it? Is it David Gregory?
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's terrible, isn't he?
Steve Whitten.
Bloody horrible.
Steve Whitten. He of the greatest assist in the 91-92 season.
He did more than just that. But yes, yeah. Steve Whitten's birthday today. He's 61 years old, if you can believe
it. And I hope, in true Steve Whitten fashion, he didn't bother celebrating his birthday. There you go.
He just shook a couple of people's hands and wandered back to the bar. Yeah.
Steve Latterbury, I'm going to trust that this is true. Not that you spoke to Robbie Savage on 606. He reckons Mick McCarthy is a passionate Town fan. We need to change, and the American has a serious problem. Mick McCarthy, I think that's trolling by Robbie Savage, but I might realize.
I'd expected that from Chris Sutton, but maybe not from Robbie Savage.
Yeah, you would have said, careful what you wish for, Chris Sutton. Ego, Jukanovic from Padja, Night Badger. David, here we go. Ted Lasso, that's what we want. Mm-hmm. Ted Lasso, but hashtag believe. You know, it makes sense. I don't know if I can do the Ted Lasso accent. That's the trouble.
You could shave off this bit of your beard, mate, and you can go just a tash.
There you go. I'm most of the way there. Brilliant. And we need Nate the Great to come and jump ship at the worst possible time. Oh, Chris Owen, don't say it. Steve Bruce. Here come the names to give me nightmares. We don't want that. What else have we got? Oh, Jack Barham, Neil Critchley. I think that's going to be a stretch to get him down. But I think that type of appointment, I think, Daryl mentioned it, a Premier League kind of under 23 coach who's, you know, it's a gamble, yes,
but yeah, it is.
Tactically, you'd be surprised if they'd be quite progressive, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that's why we all think that Appleton fits the bill, because he sort of straddles both parts. He's not wet behind the ears, and he's all, but he's also more of a coach than he is a manager sort of thing. So I think that's, and you know, he might get Teddy Bishop back. Who knows?
Yeah, well, Flim Flam, how's your FM save going, Rich? Should we stick your name? Yeah, we should definitely stick. I'm top of the league, but it's too easy. I mean, this is the trouble, Football Manager. I wonder what Christian Walton's doing with his Ipswich Town save on FM 22 as well. Evening to Christian, if you're watching us.
Are you Ipswich? Are you Rich?
Yeah, so I'm top.
Yeah, I started it, and the best thing about Football Manager, or one of the best things about Football Manager, is the fact that you get to wheel and deal, and you know, get all the transfers in, blah, blah. But by the time you start in Football Manager, they've already been done, haven't they? You've only got a couple hundred grand in the bank. You know, that's...
I got rid of a few players and that was it. But the thing with... whilst we're on Football Manager, by the way, the thing that is, I've been top of the league since the start of the season. I think I might have lost once to a penalty to Portsmouth or something. And every month, the league gives the Manager of the Month award to someone else. I've been runner-up for the Manager of the Month 3 months in a row, despite being top for the entirety of the season and only one defeat.
So I'm glad you're not bitter about a computer program, mate.
Bloody stupid. Anyway, moving on. Welsh Wizard, Michael Flynn. Emma Hayes. Paul Warne. Agent Paul. Pauls, yeah. We don't want a Paul. And he's got Norwich connections, isn't he? Joe Sheehan. There you go. Klinsmann, the names are coming out. Gus Poyet-Tarica, there you go. That old chestnut. Yeah, I think that ship might have sailed anyway. What else have we got here? Didier Drogba wants to get Burke, get on the blower to Didier Drogba.
Well, you know, we did have bloody Graham Potter on the shortlist when we gave it to Paul Hurst, didn't we? So, you know.
Gerrard.
There's a sliding doors one for you, mate.
Yeah, all those. Jack Ross, you know. Chris Horn, we'll take your word for this, Flynn Downs, and like the Town Post on the screen. There will be, though, some players in last year's squad who will have felt very harshly treated. And I know we're not in a Schadenfreude zone. I'm going to mention this and then we're going to move on very quickly. But a lot of players now elsewhere who might have not been so great about how things ended here. And Paul Cook did have a hand in it, didn't he, Craig? That last half of last season was not fun for anyone, and players were thrown under the bus. And you'd not expect that from Paul Cook, but he went for it. The demolition man, he went for it, didn't he? And you've got to kind of back it up. And Exactly that.
You know, look, how much of it was deflection tactics in the end that, you know, he's had half a season with someone else's squad and he's had almost half a season with his own and hasn't been able to get a tune out of either of them, unfortunately.
JT from a guy called Terry. There you go. I don't know. Tin hat on for the third time. No connection there, I'm sure, Terry. There. Is this your mate Maz? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Just shows that they're serious about making pros. Feel sorry for Cook. I think that sums it up quite well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Skip, what's Fat Sam up to these days? Come on, Skip. Come on, don't give me nightmares about that. Agent Allardyce as well. We don't need any more of that. Mark, I take it back, Rich. We love your impressions. Great show, guys. The future's bright. The future's brewed. Mark, thank you so much for your contributions and your super chat in euros, no less, as well. Very much appreciate that. Everyone's being so generous tonight. We do appreciate it. We don't mind doing this. Thank you, all of you, for joining in. We do this just because you guys are here. Oh, my goodness me. My mate Rod, $20 on the super chat. Great. Congrats, everyone. Good news. The end of Cook's disrespect to the club and players. But Rod, you've got a vested interest here. Rod is, I think, he's got a soft spot for Ipswich, but he's a Villa supporter. We've spoken about Louis Barry. Is Louis Barry going to play? Thank you, Rod, so much for that.
He might get a game, yeah.
There are some weird recruitment situations here that
haven't
really worked, have they?
You know, you sort of appreciate that if you're bringing in 20 players, let's use round figures, if you're going to bring in 20 players, you know, what, 10%, 20% of those aren't going to work out just by virtue of them being so many of them.
IFRIP 26, I'd rather the club went bust than avoid Allardyce.
I think you're pretty safe. Pete, you're okay, mate. You're safe. It's not going to happen. I will stake my sausages on it.
Alex Ivory, the form has dipped since Burns has been injured. That's a fair point, isn't it?
Yeah, but you shouldn't be reliant on, you know, crikey, one guy, the whole house of cards tumbling down on the back of, you know, a guy who none of us really expected to be the main man this season being being injured. Now, we should, having spent X amount and brought in 20 players, we should be able to cover for one bloke being injured, you would hope. But again, that sort of points back to...
But he has been out since Oxford, pretty much, isn't he? But anyway,
yeah.
I think there are...
And I thought, to be fair, I thought that's why the Jackson inclusion today, because... I know we'll talk about this tomorrow, but like for like, in terms of athleticism and the way they sort of play, they're not too dissimilar, I don't think, Burns and Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson's a strange. There are some interesting decisions. As Charlie D says here, January will be interesting. Never a dull moment. Julian's off to Barrow. 500 miles, I think it is, and 500 more to get back. Wow.
I've got half a day of leave remaining this year that I need to take, and I've already had a message this evening from my mate Danny saying
you can tick it off.
Joey, then I think, oh Christ, I don't mind going up there. It's the inevitable extra time and the 6-hour journey back home that I've got my eye on.
Just crazy. Evening to Eric. It's been coming for a while, says Eric. Peter Reed, eyes emoji, says bits.
Well, we'll certainly be playing 4-4-2 under Peter Reed, won't we? If we can just get Nicky Summerby out of retirement and Noah Quinn and Kevin Phillips up front, we'll be flying.
Evening, Simon, late to the party as usual. We're very pleased. Never thought he was a bad manager elsewhere, but it's not working here. Yeah, I think that's generally sums up the position here, doesn't it? Evening to John. Yes, I remember this on the Q&A yesterday. Not enormously surprised that players end up in the final straw. Disappointed hugely by this, but the manner of our season has gone has been difficult to look beyond. There you go.
Yeah, it's just results, John, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's just results, mate. You know, as I say, no one's got anything bad to say about the bloke, but plain black, looking at it from black and white, it's just not worked and it's not good enough from their perspective, is it?
Daryl Hughes, even in Paul Cook's interview after the game, you said this, it was clear he's frustrated and passionate about delivering success for Town. Yeah, he is going to be disappointed, isn't he, Craig, as you said?
Yeah.
It is a shame.
Yeah, because, you know, but the end of that, because he said, and Scott Fraser said, actually, when he, in his post-match interview, that in terms of club stature, this is the biggest club a lot of these guys have played for. And because I think it was Brendan was saying, you know, how do you guys handle it? Blah, blah, blah. You know, playing for the pressure of playing for Ipswich in League One, blah, 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 to the most docile fans in the country. But from Paul Cook's perspective, it's, and again, with all due respect to the other clubs, this has got to be the biggest club that he's managed at. Mm. Wigan, Portsmouth. I appreciate Wigan were in the Championship at the time, but in terms of stature and size of clubs, it's, you know, where's he going to go next? That's going to be an interesting. Where does he end up?
Skip, thank you again, everyone tonight. We're giving back. We will stay. Craig, are you committing to stay with me for another 10 odd minutes? Should we breach the 1 hour mark?
My sausages looked rather anemic, mate. I think I've
got the delivery app. You know, get yourself.
What to Breitling? See, yeah, right, yo.
Oh, I was going to say favorite chicken. Then I don't.
They won't get through passport. They won't get through passport control, mate. In one road in.
Never mind. Skip, thank you so much. One of the frequent flyers on these live shows as well. So great to have you with us. As all of you still with us in good numbers. So we will, as I said, we will power through. We will keep going. We want to hear your recommendations, your names in the hat. We've had some interesting ones so far. FXT, they'll want a
serious
statement.
Ones. Big. Yeah, I wonder that.
I Ted Lasso is the best non-serious. I want non-serious too. There is, the next Ipswich manager, wrong answers only. No,
that is
right and wrong answers.
Yeah, just to go on to that, that's a conversation that, you know, I've been having offline with other people. It is, as and when it happens, you know, maybe next May when we've given him a fair crack of the whip and things like that, just be absolutely intrigued to know who it is that they're getting, you know, who will be next in line. We assume it will be Appleton, but you just don't know. You know, they have been shooting for the stars in terms of the... relevant shooting for the stars, relative in terms of the players they brought in. So, you know, who knows?
In vuvavu, indeed. Ollie's put us on the spot, Craig. Do you guys have a personal choice for who's next? What I was doing whilst I was trying to multitask, and I'm not very good at it, is just have a look at the League Two table. Because I quite like the I agree. I can't remember. It might be in Charlie. Who said it will be a non-League One manager. I think he's right. I think they will either go for a high-profile manager who's not in a job at the moment, and I suspect that will be fruitless. Appleton seems like that would have happened last year, but I think that ship might have now sailed. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, by the way, but he wouldn't be my personal choice now, I think, purely because of how this season's going. So at the top of League One is Forest Green Rovers with Northampton, Exeter, Swindon, Port Vale and Sutton United just behind them. And I have no idea who the manager is at Forest Green Rovers. Does anyone know? Do you know, Craig? Mark Cooper. There you go.
He was the Mark Cooper. Yeah. Who's the manager? He's the manager of
Barrow.
What's today, Barrow, yeah.
What's going on? Has the internet let me down? Shock. Yeah. The manager of Forest Green.
Terry Cooper's son.
It's not saying it. Oh, come on, internet. Help me out, someone in the chat. Anyway.
He's a vegan. Whoever he is, he's a vegan.
He's a vegan. The super chat's coke. I hope people are when the fun stops, stop. But here we go. What have we got here? Yane Slonen, thank you so much for the super chat. Could we just skip even thinking about appointing a big name ex-player like Lampard or Carrick and also the usual names like Warnock and Bruce? I think, Yane, you'll get plenty of support for that. Bits is buying you some sausages as well. Guys, thank you so much. Wow.
Thank you, Bits.
We're going to need to buy some Christmas presents for a few people as well as a podcast. Thank you guys so much. Thank you all of you for joining in. We don't, you know, this is certainly not expected. We were happy what we're doing. We are always put this out for free. So your support means so much. And just being here is enough. But thank you to Bits and Rod and Skip and all the others who I've forgotten already for your support. Yane as well. Andrew, the thumbs up on Facebook. Facebook, we see you. As always, the unsung heroes on these streams. Thank you for joining in over there, Andrew. We appreciate you. Frank Lampard, there it is. The name Mike Bassett out of retirement. Here we go. Here come the wrong answers that I want.
What about Charlie? Old matey? What's the guy from Phoenix? Rick Shantz, the Phoenix rising coach.
There you go. Robin Peter to play Paul then, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Drogba. Back out PR will be the unveiling of the new guy, says Charlie D. How about that? How about them apples?
He's going to come parachuting in with like a Stars and Stripes canvas thing, just
some
coming into the stadium.
Fly over. Yeah, that's what.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It'll be like the 1984 Olympics, wasn't it? Los Angeles Olympics, where the guy came in on the jetpack.
And we need Diana Ross to take a penalty where the goal splits in half and she misses the goal completely.
Yeah, well, we can either choose Selena or Piggott for that, couldn't we?
Oh, come on now. Minnow, this is important. I think this is really vital, this next appointment. These are my words. Sorry, Minnow's words. Needs to be the right appointment. Learn from the Cook mistake. Learn from the Ashton, bloody hell, Freudian slip. Learn from the Lambert mistake. Learn from the Hurst mistakes. Manager plus assistant matters, a decent backroom staff, and with a good contact with high league clubs to bring in potential signings. Minnow's got a really valid point. We have made, on paper, reasonable managerial appointments in the last 5 years, but have not done the sufficient due diligence and also not considered that sometimes the backroom team are almost as important, if not more so maybe, than the manager. Thoughts on that, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But I think, you know, we did appoint Cook with the assumption that Richardson was going to follow him. And it was just another sliding doors moment that Richardson...
Pay the money.
But then Richardson just does so well, you know, no one expected him to do that well, but he just does so well at Wigan that he has to be appointed as their manager. And then, you know, everything's up in the air and you're back to square one. I think Cook came into this thinking it was pretty much a done deal. You know, his initial interviews pretty much said as much, didn't he? I don't want to talk about other people's managers, but you know, let's come the end of the season. This is last season. Let's come the end of the season. What happens, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I think, you know, Christ, we've been twice bitten, three times shy as it is now.
Here's another sliding doors moment. Is this the, did we make the wrong choice? Did Marcus Evans make the wrong choice when the Cowleys and Cook were available? The Cowleys were my preference because you get the assistant and the manager in one package, don't you, really?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't know. I can't imagine they'll come now. But, you know, someone said earlier about Lampard and Carrick, and someone else has mentioned Rooney in the comments. I think they're going to have to go, as I say, they need as much as a guarantee can be, they've got to appoint someone who they are pretty confident is going to get them out of this godforsaken league, aren't they? I don't think they can be taking any punts at this stage, well, can they? Well, no, they've got to get out of it. You know, they're ploughing money, they're losing money hand over fist at the moment, just you know, treading water. They need to be up in the Championship at the very least.
Mm. Yep. Pompey fan. Here's Forrest. Forrest, what's on? As a Pompey fan, I generally thought you'd gone up with him. Just needed a full season. Yeah, yeah, there will be people out there thinking, Craig, too soon?
Yeah.
Would you
yeah, 100%.
Subscribe to that?
Yeah, well... but yes, I know, I say, I've got no issue with him at all whatsoever, but we just needed to see some semblance of progress. And I'd be interested to know whether in the first season or half season that he had with Pompey, whether you actually saw any real progression, because we haven't really. We've seen two half season failures in effect.
Yeah. FBL Tractor, even into FBL Tractor, if they're looking for a first team coach, then do you think they'll get a director of football? If so, don't you get that guy in first?
Mm. Well, it seems to be the only position behind the scenes they haven't really filled yet, isn't it? You know, Christ, you've got every other position you can think of, even some you've never even heard of, have been filled, haven't they? Yeah, so yeah. I don't know, but whether they just slip in under the structure that they've already got. They've got the head of recruitment guy that came in the most recent, haven't they? I can't for the life of me remember what his name is, but he, I can't remember where he came from. Did he come from Bristol City, Rich? I think he might have come from Bristol City. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's in their thinking, very possibly. But as I said at the beginning, the way I sort of see it happening now is they'll just be bringing in coaches to work under the existing structure. So whether that includes a director of football sitting above it all, or whether that's going to be handled by Ashton and the other chap that's recently come in from Bristol, I don't know.
Peter Reid, there you go. Have I put this one up? I think I might have. There you go. I'm just catching up where I was before. Oh, come on, Martin, Alex Neil. The Norwich names keep getting. Again, no Pauls, no Pulis Ball, and no ex Norwich anymore. I've had enough. Anyone who's played for Norwich or managed Norwich is an automatic no for me. I'm going to go with that. What else have we got? We will go for a few more minutes. We'll breach the hour mark just as a courtesy to all of you loyal watchers, listeners. Thank you for sticking with us so much. Thank you for your chats. Apologies if I've not had time to click them all. I'm all over the shop, frankly. But poor old Craig's not even had his sausages yet, which will be fully cremated by the time he sits down.
Yeah.
What else have we got here?
No euphemisms there either, by the way.
FBL Tractor, clearly the important thing is to appoint a manager who Rich can do an impression of. Who can you do, Rich? #SuffolkYard.
Well, Ryan Lowe's Liverpudlian, mate. So, you know, you're sort of halfway there. I don't know if he's quite as gravelly and Octavianly challenged. But
yeah, I'm generally... So, obviously, I lived in the Midlands for about 13 years. So, I can fall back into that pretty quick. That's no problem at all. Then we can go up to Scouts. I can do that. So, I don't know. Who's it going to be? Jasper Carrot, maybe. There you go. It's enough of that. What else have we got? I can't believe I did that. I've not even had a drink tonight. I'm not enough of a drink to do that. I'm embarrassed. What else have we got? Tony Mowbray, there we go. That's kind of northeast, isn't it? Andrew, kind of summing it up, shocked but not sad. And yeah, let's get your last reactions, your thoughts on the news that's scrolling through there. Paul Cook has been, I was going to say sacked. Sacked is such a brutal word, isn't it? It's parted ways with Ipswich Town.
There was no mention of mutual. No, there wasn't. Was there none of that? It was thanks very much.
Rod's trolling me now, Rod. Come on, Tim Sherwood. No G-lays in the dugout for me, please.
And he was another that was on the shortlist, though, wasn't he? Allegedly.
There was chat, wasn't
there? It was pretty much Hurst, Lampard, Sherwood or Potter. And we went for Paul Hurst.
Brian Potter. Get that down. Get that down right
got
now.
Goals.
It's inflatable, Will. Sammy Snake. And just put him in the chat. I'll do him. You know, any impressions? I'm like the Alistair McGowan Yarwood's not really
Mike,
my era.
Mike Yarwood, yeah?
Yeah. Don't know who he is. Sorry.
Don't know who he is, do you? No.
Jonathy, don't rule out American poster managers. Wow. Is there anyone in the MLS that's catching your eye? Rod, John Terry is a saint at Villa, really improved us. Interesting idea. There you go. What else have we got? Players need to step up.
I'd be interested to know whether it goes, I can say go out to tender, whether it goes out and we invite applications or whether we go out and headhunt. Yeah. Yes.
Rob Edwards, Forest Green Rovers boss, ex-Wolves, Wales midfield. Thank you, Ado. Wikipedia is still open on that page. Rob Edwards, now it says. So Google screwed me over. Rob Edwards, yeah. Ex-Villa, Wolves, Blackpool, Norwich loan. No, sorry, he's out.
The issue with Rob Edwards, and I'm pretty sure the issue with Ryan Lowe, is they're both going to be younger than me, and that doesn't sit well. Mullet, there we go. You can shut up, because I know what you're going to say. And Mikey, you'll say something. Old Father Time is the only person we've got available in that, if that's the case. But
I was moving us swiftly on. Never mind. Hasn't Royster done some coaching at Holland? Getting Fabian, there we go. Blimey. Yeah, Burley is director of football. No, I think
I think George is enjoying himself. Okay, thanks very much.
I don't think it will be someone with Ipswich connections.
No,
and I just hope it won't be anyone with Burley's Barmy Army. Says FXT. Lots of people mentioning Lampard and Badman McJohnson. He is our greatest hope. Meg's not mentioned yet. Yeah, brilliant. Tis the season of the brilliant headed winning goal in the East Anglian Derby from about 1992-93, wasn't it? There's Meg.
Oh, yeah, but you say about Lampard, you know, had he not recently turned down Norwich, and I would have thought that, yes, he's probably exactly the sort of person that they would look to bring in, but I don't know whether if he's got his sights set higher than Norwich. I'm bloody sure he's got his sights set higher than 11th in League One.
Ian, I told you there were fans from other clubs listening. I'm a Darlington fan. We were made bankrupt in 2011, reformed in 2012, demoted four leagues, and are currently a fan-owned National League North club. We have had three promotions to date. Ian, who is your manager? We're coming for you. Let me see if see if the internet fails me again with that one. Come on, internet.
Yeah, I'm not quite as keen on falling quite as far as that in order to rebuild. Oh,
do you know why you mentioned it, manager? Alan Armstrong.
I thought he was at Blythe Spartans. Has he moved? Has he?
That's Wikipedia for you. I never check my sources. I just say whatever I want. if you put it on the teleprompter, Ron Burgundy will say it.
He wasn't very well, was he, Alan Armstrong? I hope he's...
He had surgery, didn't he? The bookies will have bets on what manager will get sacked next. Sadly, wow. It does, we've talked about that. I think different era and a different context for those decisions. I think, Robert, Matt Holland, there we go.
As
a two Narvi fan, you don't need Bruce. Trust me.
We know that. Thanks very much. I think this time around, I think they'll be in it for the long haul. I think they're reporting their man. So...
I think you're right. I do think it feels like a long-term appointment, as you say. Bring back Paul Lambert. Let's see what he can do with the money. Wow. Yeah, well, we start passing it sideways still. The ex-Man U manager we've got, Dave Challoner, get Burley in. Was that an Adrian? Yeah, exactly right, Flim Flam. It was an Adrian Charles impression there.
Take your pick, Flim Flam. It was someone from the West Midlands.
It was an offensive West Midlands accent. Apologies to all of my former neighbours. Stephen Bills, whatever happened to Alan Kirvishley? Still looking for a house in Woodbridge. Alan Kirvishley, I think, was playing for Birmingham City in ITV4's The Big Match Revisited, Ipswich 3, Birmingham City 1 this morning. I think Kirvishley was playing for Blues in that match. There you go. That's a nice full circle reference for you there. I know, I'm pissed off when I see one. Thank you, Skip. That's a good quote there. Even Buckingham Palace has corned beef. It's all going off 1 hour 5. I'm going to skip through and see if I can find some stuff that we haven't talked about so far, but we'll end it shortly. If you want to shout out or say goodbye, now is the opportunity. I'm going to, or what do I need to say in Paul Cook? No, I'm not going to do the Paul Cook. I'm going to try the Paul Cook accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's...
He's more of a fanfare than that, mate. Not just a passing comment that I'm going
to
retire.
Okay, well, give me something to say in the words of Paul Cook at the end. Craig, let me just come to you. We'll kind of sum things up properly now. Let me stop the Sky Sports rolling banner. Let me read you again the statement. Ipswich Town Football Club can confirm that manager Paul Cook has been relieved of his duties. Mark Ashton has said, firstly, we would like to thank Paul and his team for their efforts in what has been a difficult transition for everyone. I know how much Paul will have wanted to succeed. However, following discussions with the board, we've decided change is needed for our long-term interests. At this moment, there is no one lined up to replace Paul. There will be an extensive search to find the best replacement for the club. I will communicate more to the media and our supporters on Monday. Craig, sum up your thoughts as we are about to say goodbye.
Yeah, well, I think that probably the telling item there was the long-term interest of the club. And so I think, again, that just sort of indicates they're looking for a, you know, not a short-term fix, but someone to can sit in and embed themselves in and be part of this bloody project that we've been talking about for however long. I'm just sad, really. As I said, the very, very, very beginning, he's a nice guy, you know, and I'm just sad that it hasn't worked out. Whereas previously I've been bored of the managers and quite glad that they've disappeared and moved on. But this time around, I'm just sad that it hasn't worked out for the guy. But unfortunately, I really think he's only got himself to blame in terms of the backroom staff and slightly muddled transfer dealings. I think what it has shown is that, and we mentioned it a few times on previous pods, is, you know, who's going to blink first, the fans or the owners? You know, who's going to have the most patience? You know, we're saying, well, yeah, it'll be interesting, actually. Who's going to have the most? Will the fans go first or will the owners go first? Well, I think we've pretty much had our decision this afternoon or this evening.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, Craig, for abandoning your dinner as well. You know, the loyalty from Craig tonight is to be applauded.
I did my dinner, but I did make up for it with liquid...
liquid refreshment.
Nutrients.
Lots of quotes coming in. FXT Blues, wish for whatever Warnock you want. FXT is also good for a crap. Maybe I could do a crap. No, that's not good, is it? Eric Clacton, Rich and Craig, I love you both. The feeling is mutual. Eric, Peter, agree. Sad day for club and individuals. Gary, love all. Great discussion, guys. Sorry. Had to be done. Agree with that. David Johnston, this is the nature of our new ownership. It has to be. Mm-hmm. I think it has to be. I know that will upset a few people. And it is sad that it's come to this, but look at the league table. Let me put the league table up just to illustrate the point there. Slap bang in the middle, 11th. 7 wins, 6 draws, 7 defeats, 1.3 points per game. Overall record, 14 wins, 15 draws, 15 losses. Statistically, it was just not going to be good enough. And today, a very tepid performance in a draw to Barrow in the FA Cup. Pack up Walmart a few weeks away. There we go. Hopefully, we'll end on this one. Simon Clark, be happy, better times are ahead. You have to.
Is that a promise, Simon?
So onwards and upwards, says Skip. We will be back for the flagship show available Monday morning, as usual. All the details that you need to know on our socials, on our feeds. Go and watch the Christian Walton interview. That will be very interesting now with the news that we now know. Certainly in neither of our thoughts when we were speaking earlier in the week. But yeah, Craig's back with Ben and Dave on the flagship, available Monday morning. And we've also got an interview with Abby Lafayette next week as well, who will be sponsoring the ITFC women's team. We wish them all the best for their cup tie tomorrow against Crawley Wasps. But Blue Monday ITFC is where you go. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and sticking with us. We've only stayed here as long as we have because you stuck with us as well. Thank you to everyone who was so generous in the Super Chat. We really do appreciate that. And we will be back. I'm sure we will have the siren emoji ready for when the appointment is made. So, Craig, enjoy your dinner.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Steve Whitten. Don't be celebrating it. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Take care.
Here's It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.